In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our text for today is the reading from Revelation, which I've already read. In Exodus 12, God commanded Moses and the people of Israel in Egypt to prepare for the final plague upon the land that would finally open the way for the Exodus, that the people of Israel would be able to leave Egypt and be free from their bondage in slavery. They were to take a lamb, a spotless lamb, a male, a year old, and they were to sacrifice it. They were to eat it in haste, leaving none left over, and paint the blood of the lamb on their doorposts. In this way, God would make a distinction between Egypt and Israel. The angel of the Lord would see the blood on the doors, and he would pass them over. The blood was a sign that the people belonged to God. Dear friends in Christ, as we are gathered here today to celebrate All Saints' Day, it is worth reflecting on what it is that makes one a saint. First, let's quickly dispatch with the notion that the Roman Church has foisted upon us for far too long. Saintly status is not something that the Church determines for a person after they have died, after a rather lengthy process. The scriptures speak of saints as both living and dead. Nearly all of St. Paul's letters, for instance, start off by speaking about the saints in Rome or in Ephesus or in Corinth or whatever place he's writing to. So, what is a saint? A clue is right there in the word if you know your Latin. The word simply means holy. It's basically the same root that gives us the name of the hymn that we will sing right before the Holy Communion, the Sanctus. If you kind of squint and turn your head to the side, you can see that they're related, saint and sanctus. And that hymn begins with that word, holy, holy, holy. So, to be a saint is to be called holy. That is not something that we get to determine about ourselves. After all, St. Paul and the Psalms both tell us, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. And so we find ourselves in the same boat as our father Adam. We are naked because of our sin. And if we are naked, we must be clothed. We must be covered up by a righteousness that does not come from within us, but that comes from the outside. As we heard from the Hebrews earlier, the righteousness comes to us from Christ, who is perfect. He is the once and for all sacrifice for our sins. And so to be holy is to be covered in the righteousness of God and to belong to Him. But we shouldn't spiritualize that sacrifice. Just as the temple was filled with the sounds and smells of real animals really being slaughtered, the death of Jesus is a real historical event. Just outside of the wall of the city of Jerusalem, Jesus hanged on the cross, naked, bleeding, and dying for the sins of the whole world. When we behold Christ on the cross, we see the wrath of God over our sins and over the sins of the whole world. But we also see, in that dying carpenter's son, the redemption of the whole world. We see the fruit of the tree of life. This, by the way, is why it is good to have a crucifix with a corpus on it. It teaches us that Christ, the God-man in the flesh, bore the wrath of God in order to make us holy and righteous in His sight. It is good to have that image before our eyes. But as I said, we ought not spiritualize this sacrifice. After all, what does our reading from Revelation 7 say? When St. John saw the multitude streaming into the heavenly throne room, singing the praises of our God, seeing the Lamb on the throne, the angel says this: "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." To be holy, to be a saint, is to have your filthy rags of sin washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. Blood must be shed. We've heard this over and over again in the propers, haven't we? We heard it in that first reading. We heard it in the gradual as well. We even heard it in the last hymn that we sang. Dear friends in Christ, last week we heard about how the Reformation is all about the Word of God. It is the Word that creates. It is the Word that frees us from sin. It is the Word that topples the Pope. But to what does this Word point? Well, like John the Baptist pointing his long finger at Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Word points us to the blood. It is this blood that marks us as belonging to Christ. It is this blood that makes us holy. When the blood of Christ marks you, the angel of the Lord puts away his sword and he passes you over. This blood is given to us in the font, where Christ washes us and washes our robes and gives us the robe of his righteousness. Zechariah the prophet describes this in a vision. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Remove the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments." Isaiah also says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest in a beautiful headdress, and a bride adorns herself with jewels." This is what Christ's blood does for us in the font. This blood that Christ comes to give is also given to us here at the altar this morning. The blood that is poured into the cup is the very blood of Jesus. He says, "This is my blood." It marks you as his. It makes you holy. It is the antidote to death. Jesus says it is given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. In sin's delusion, it seems as if we ought to ration Christ's blood so as to keep it something that's special, that it would not lose its significance in our hearts. If reducing how often we make Christ's blood available really and truly makes it more special, then why do we still have readings and preaching and hymns and prayers every single week? Why don't we just read the Bible just once or twice a month? It is not the frequency that makes it special, but it is indeed the faith that is created by this Word of God. And so, it is because of this blood that God's saints are granted access to the heavenly throne room. It is by that blood that those who have gone before us are now enjoying the nearer presence of our God. It is by that same blood that the devil has been conquered and put to flight. It is by that blood that we shall stand before God's throne with palm branches in our hands, singing praises to our God. It is by that blood that God shelters us now and in the life to come with his presence. It is by that blood that Christ nourishes and sustains us now and in the life to come. It is by that blood that the sun shall not strike us, nor any scorching heat. It is by this blood that God wipes away every tear from our eyes. Dear saints, the Apostle John has written, "The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sins. And so, let us approach the throne of heaven here, that we might be cleansed of sins, both inside and out, by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.